Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this is classic. So John Jackson, the Joker from X, and I here. I mean, first off, it's just incredible news that Dan Bongino has been named deputy director of the FBI. And so we were kind of having this discussion. Wait, does this job require Senate confirmation, or does it not require Senate confirmation? And AJ and Livingston had kind of said, hey, I don't think that job requires Senate confirmation. And so I went on. I had the same question the other day. Have you guys ever noticed how Google is completely worthless? I mean, we've known it's worthless before, but at least if you asked Google a question, you would get an answer. Now Google does its best to not give you an answer. But anyway, so I went into Grok, which is Elon Musk's AI platform, and Grok says, no, it does not require Senate confirmation, and ABC News has reported the same here. But, John, Eric in Winifred, Montana, has, I think, the best response yet here, which is, you know how we know that the FBI deputy director job does not require Senate confirmation? Because senators like Collins and Lisa Murkowski are not lining up to tell us how they won't vote to confirm him. So clutch your pearls, ladies, because here we go. America is ready to rock and roll with Dan Bongino.
I've never been so glad to be wrong in my life. I mean, I am so glad that it turns out he does not have to be confirmed, because he can take the job just immediately. Put it because Cash is already in there, and he's also, that gives us three bites at the apple to go after these people. That's Bondi, Cash Patel, and now Bongino to initiate the investigations we all know got to get done.
Yeah, that's right. I want to follow up. I want to do a couple of topics today where we follow up on some things that were covered yesterday on the show. First off, Frank in Malta at KMMR, he totally bailed out my show. So about 12 hours ago, President Donald Trump gets on Truth Social, and he puts out this big message about the Keystone XL pipeline. Thankfully, Frank in Malta said, hey, Aaron, ask the governor about the Keystone XL pipeline. And the governor actually had a very interesting response yesterday. But yeah, President Trump, he had some bold things to say about the Keystone Pipeline yesterday.
He's wanting to get it back, and he's asking that company, and he's saying, come back, and we'll make it, expedite the whole process, permits, authorizations, everything. We'll get this done as quickly as possible. And also what I was telling you at the break, in the midst of trying to get a deal over there in Ukraine, he's cutting a humongous rare earth minerals deal with Ukraine, and also another side trade deal with Russia, which the whole thing is going to net us trillions of dollars. I mean, how does it feel to have a real president of the United States again?
Well, one of my liberal friends on the High Line, I saw him arguing with another friend of mine, and you know, this liberal friend of mine, he's just beside himself because he just wants to see this war in Ukraine just to keep going forever is what it sounds like. So, unfortunately, the meal wagon is coming to an end. The killing may soon come to an end. So, hate to break that news to my liberal friend in northeast Montana.
Oh, don't get me started. You're going to trigger me. You're going to trigger me here.
All right, well, you got a couple of minutes to recover. Phone lines are open for you. Back up.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we've got the phone lines open for you. John Jackson, the Joker from X, sidekicking with us on the show this morning as well. This is the soundbite. Yesterday, Governor Greg Gianforte joined us, took a whole bunch of great calls all across Montana, and it was a news-making interview in more ways than one. Again, thanks to your phone calls. In fact, the Senate president of the Montana Senate, the Republican Senate President and the Republican Speaker of the House, have both fired back a response towards the governor based off of his comments on the show yesterday. I'll tell you a little bit about that. But first, yeah, it was Frank in Malta on KMMR Radio who said, hey, ask the governor about the Keystone XL pipeline. Did that topic come up with President Trump when he was at the White House over the weekend?
Well, the economics supporting that project have not changed just because somebody decided didn't want it to happen. I did talk with Chris Wright, the new energy secretary, as well as I've been having some conversations with private sector concerns here in the U.S. that are ready and willing to put the capital forward if they knew they could get the permits. So I just think it's a matter of time. We need more pipelines to get energy to market. The place it's most acute is in the Northeast, where we're importing Russian crude oil to heat homes in the Northeast when we have nearly unlimited natural gas in Pennsylvania. We just can't get it there because we don't have a pipeline. I think the wind that's coming into the sails for those pipelines is going to help us with Keystone XL as well. It might get reincarnated as a slightly different project. What I've heard is it's probably going to cross the border in the same place, but it might tie into some pipelines in North Dakota, which already have a distribution network in place. So I'm encouraged by what I'm hearing. I don't have specific news to announce, but stay tuned.
All right. So, yeah, anyway, John Jackson, so a couple of things stand out. One, I did follow up with the governor, and yes, he believes that the Keystone XL pipeline, even under a new path, would still enter Montana and the United States in Phillips County, just north of Malta. So that's big news there, but it might have a different path after that. The other thing that's really interesting, here we go again, to your point about Ukraine and Russia. The same people on the left that sit there and wax poetic about Ukraine all day long and Russia, 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 and yet they are allowing Russia to profit off of selling gas to the New England states in America when that could be American gas. The same party that shut down the Keystone Pipeline for America and for Montana is the same party that allowed this invasion in Ukraine and allows Russia to profit off of us and we, the American people.
There is no greater evil going on in this world right now than that Ukraine war and all the people propping it up. There could have been a ceasefire back. I mean, it never should have happened. It never would have happened under Donald Trump. But they could have stopped this 3 months in. But all of these people pushing this just so they can funnel $200 billion over there and get it laundered back to them as millions of people die for nothing. Ukraine lost this war. It is lost. Putin has got that territory. He's never giving it up. And these people do not care. It is disgusting.
Yeah, but Donald Trump is not only going to bring this to a halt and stop the bloodshed, but he's also looking for a way for America to stop the bleeding and the loss of and the pileup of federal debt that has just soared now to $37 trillion in counting. So it's going to be fascinating to see how this all plays out here. The other thing that made news, well, I don't know if the news picked up on this yet, but it certainly was big news. Governor Greg Gianforte joined us on the show. I asked him about the 9 Republican senators in the state Senate that have been voting with the Democrats on key rules changes or on committee assignments. And I asked him for his take on that whole situation. And I was interested to see, would he criticize the 9? Would he criticize party leadership? It sounded like, to me, like he kind of criticized all of them. Here's what he had to say.
Well, we've got some really important priorities for Montanans. I think taxes are too high. I laid out my agenda during the State of the State. We have a proposal that would permanently reduce property taxes. I haven't seen that bill to my desk yet. I proposed a full percentage point cut in income taxes that we funded because we were fiscally responsible over the last 4 years. I haven't gotten that bill to my desk. In fact, as of last week, the only two bills I got from the legislature, one renamed the bridge, and the other one bought lunch money for the legislators. Now, I did get a few bills over the last couple of days, but the substantive things for the people of Montana, like red tape relief, property tax relief, income tax, permanent reductions, I haven't seen those bills.
All right, anyway, so that was the governor's remarks yesterday. The Republican Senate president and the Republican Speaker of the House have both responded in a press release last night, firing back at the governor.
What have we talked about on your show for years now, Aaron? It is that Republicans themselves need to take care of their own business. If you've got people out there that are not doing what they need to be doing, you need to whip them into shape. And that you do not accomplish any of that by collaborating with Democrats. And I say that to everybody in this system, everybody in the middle of this problem. If your solution to this is to collaborate with Democrats, you're wrong.
Well, and that to me is the whole thing here. Okay, I get it. Legislative leadership, they might have a different view of what income tax relief should look like compared to what the governor has and all this stuff. But it's like, okay, everybody get in the same room, get on the same page, and make it happen. Oddly enough, that's what's happening in Washington right now. The Congress seems to be united behind Speaker Johnson. Everybody's united behind President Donald J. Trump, and they're getting stuff done. That should be happening in Helena, too.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here we go. Back to it here with John Jackson, the Joker from X. So yeah, last night I got a press release in my email inbox. In fact, I work very early in the morning, and then after the radio show is done, I try to get a couple stories on our website. I almost thought about turning around a quick story for our Montana Talks website last night, but it's like, man, it was already starting to get late, and I'm like, man, I got to be ready for the show in the morning. I'm running around. But yeah, last night, folks were telling me about this, and then I checked my email. There it is, a press release with this headline: Legislative Republicans set the record straight on tax relief. In their press release, they wrote this: Governor Greg Gianforte took to the airwaves on Montana Talks with Aaron Flint to criticize the legislature for not advancing tax relief measures quickly enough. However, the facts tell a different story, they write. House Bill 231, the governor's property tax relief bill, sponsored by Representative Lou Jones, was not introduced until January 16th. Likewise, Senate Bill 323, sponsored by Senator Josh Kastmeyer, an income tax proposal from the governor, was not introduced until February 13th. The press release says this: the governor understands the legislative process and should have submitted his proposals earlier if he wanted them enacted more quickly. And then there were statements from Speaker of the House Brandon Lear and Senate President Matt Regeer. And I'll get that and more posted on our Montana Talks website after the show today. But, John, you and I were kind of talking. It's like I joked earlier that I kind of feel like, you know, Rodney King and Reginald Denny on In Living Color back in the 90s. Can't we all just get along? I mean, can't everybody just get in the room and figure this out? I mean, their income tax proposals really aren't that different. I happen to prefer the governor's approach on income taxes. I think the taxes should be cut across the board. We shouldn't be picking winners and losers. Just give everybody tax relief. The rich will pay more because the percentage is the same. But get in the room, figure it out.
Well, that's the price of leadership. As we all know, the Speaker, the Senate President, and the Governor. If things don't get done, the right things don't get done this legislative session, it's on you. The three of you guys, because y'all are the leaders. If people don't come along and do what they got to do, you got to be the person, like you say, get them in a room, make a deal, spank them, threaten them, cajole them, whatever you got to do, get it done. It's on you. And if you can't get it done, you need to get replaced next time.
All right, let's go into the phone lines. Kevin in Bozeman, and the phone number for you, by the way, 406-294-0970. Kevin, what's your thoughts? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, hey, good to hear you guys. Hey, I just quickly, I had to step away from the radio for a second, but Dan Bongino said on his show yesterday that he did not have to get appointed by the Senate, that he was just, the president picked him and that was it.
Yeah, there's no requirement for confirmation. Yeah, good to hear. Thanks for pointing out that Dan mentioned that as well. Yeah, I got to hear part of his show, but not all of it.
Okay, yeah, and I just wanted to say, you know, I want to set the record straight on these fake Republicans. They're not Republicans. They're Democrats pretending to be Republicans. And that's why it's so frustrating. These aren't just Republicans who are like, oh, we're just a little moderate. The Democrat Party's smart. They said, look, this is a red state, and we're going to lose every single time if you know, we just run a Democrat. So what? We're going to wink and nod. Hey, this is a, you know, middle-of-the-road Republican. No, he's not. He's a Democrat pretending to be a Republican. Then they get in, and they can stymie the governor's plans. So, I mean, that's what's happening here. They're Democrats pretending to be Republicans, and Jean Forte, I think, needs to go sit down with Trump and get a little Trumpism in him and come back to the state and do what Trump would do if he was in the situation.
Let me just play a little bit of devil's advocate with you here. So,
sure.
Because to me, I don't like how these nine are voting with the Democrats either, even though I personally like several of these folks, right? When eight or nine Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives, mostly Freedom Caucus members, were voting with the Democrats against the rest of their caucus on rules, would you consider them to basically be Democrats, or were they just maybe, I guess, how did you view that situation compared to this one?
Well, I just mean kind of in general. I mean, you know, the Democrat Party knows that Montana is red. And they're, you know, they're not going to just sit there and lose election after election. So they're going to go into an area that's a little less, you know, MAGA, but still red, and say, hey, look, Jimmy, you run as a Republican. I know you're kind of in the middle of the road, but you'll kind of side with us against this crazy right wing governor. You know, that's what they call him. And I think that's, you know, Glenn Beck talks about that in Texas, that, you know, Texas is predominantly a red state, very red state. But they're having all these troubles with all these so-called Republicans that are coming in and siding with the Democrats and almost making a majority of the Democrats when the Republicans have a majority.
Yeah, that oftentimes happens. Yeah, you see that in Wyoming where you've got people that get elected as Republicans because they know they couldn't get elected as Democrats, so they run as Republicans instead. And it certainly makes you wonder in some of these instances if that's the case. You know, and hey, Kevin, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. And John, I throw that out there because I feel like I've been consistent. Like, I don't like it when a handful of Republicans teams up with the Democrats to undermine the rest of their caucus, even if they have what they feel are good reasons for doing so. That being said, you know, when it comes to these nine in particular, there's some votes where you could say, well, actually, they voted more conservatively than some of these other members of the Senate that are not voting to undermine their caucus on rules and committee assignments, et cetera. But either way, the Montana Republican Party has now rebuked these nine Republican senators for aligning with Democrats in an official statement from the Montana GOP. And I'll get this on our website after the show as well. But the Montana GOP shared this on X. They've rebuked all nine of these Republican senators for aligning with the Democrats. John, I'm with you. I don't see how this plays well for any of them if they don't get this thing figured out soon. They should have gotten it figured out weeks ago.
Wait, we said it last week on your show, and it bears repeating. If you have an R by your name and you are voting for government expansion, Medicaid, whatever that is, making the government bigger, you're wrong. Okay. And if you, second thing, if you are voting to make government bigger over and over and over again, you're not a Republican, you're a Democrat.
Well, and that's where some folks would particularly criticize these nine in particular, because if I'm not mistaken, at least a majority of them, if not all of them, voted in support of continuing Medicaid expansion. Now, look, I get it. Some of these folks, they're being pressured by rural hospitals. They're not making government bigger, but they're continuing this Medicaid expansion program as is. But, okay, well, even if you felt like you had to vote for Medicaid expansion, well, why wouldn't you put a court-proofed work requirement in place? Well, why wouldn't you put asset and means testing in place on top of that as well? At least strengthen up some of the sideboards on this thing. So
all of this stuff is putting Band-Aids over the shotgun wound that is Obamacare. I mean, one time you got to get the patient in the hospital and take care of this shotgun wound that is Obamacare. We almost got it done back in Trump's last term. Of course, John McCain screwed us all just for his spitefulness. But do it again. Get rid of this. Repeal this thing.
Well, and I do believe everything happens for a reason. And I think the strength we are seeing out of the Trump administration and just the unity behind Donald J. Trump, all of the bad things that happened in this country the last 4 years and everything that they tried to do to Donald Trump and everything they did do to Donald Trump, I think it's united the American people behind him like never before. And that's why I think we're seeing such strength. Even, I mean, you thought Donald Trump delivered in his first term. Look at right now. Even more powerful.
Big time. And that's, once again, going back to what we said a minute ago, that's why, and again, because we have this great, great momentum here, that's why we cannot have another big system budget. Because I'm telling you, Aaron, as sure as I'm sitting here, they will use that to say, look, the Republicans made sure that all the fat cats in D.C. got paid while they fired everybody else. They fired the little guy in their jobs. That's it. They can't have this.
406-294-0970 is the number for you. Let's go to Travis in Kalispell next, listening to KJJR. Travis, what's on your mind?
Well, first, I want to congratulate Dan Bongino. I bet you a lot of Dems and liberals had to change their diapers when they heard that news. And also, you know, another good pick, and I think she is a rock star. Donald Trump is a rock legend. It's Carolyn Leavitt. She is a ball of fire.
That's right. Yeah, she's only like 27 years old and doing an incredible job.
Yeah, and I think they should put some gloves on her and put her in an MMA match because she kicks butt. then the other thing is, you know, I don't hear him crying or anything about any of the coal miners that got put out of work or the pipeline workers or like Silly Lake, the lumber mill shutting down. I mean, they could care less about that, but boy, they're just crying their eyes out about these public workers. Anyways, I'll take your comments off here.
Thanks. Hey, I appreciate it, Travis. Yeah, have a great day. Great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. Man, a couple of great points there by Travis and Kalispell. First off, when he talked about, you know, man, Dan Bongino is deputy director of the FBI, it reminds me of a great message that we got on the Montana Talks app from Evan in Belt. And he said, hey, look at that. You know, he's talking about Kash Patel being confirmed as FBI director. He said, hey, look at that. We've got Kash in hand, and they still have Adam Schiff in their pants. They were Adam shifting their pants over that one, huh?
You know what Travis said right there? That's a very, very good point. You have the entire mainstream media out there doing sob stories about these federal workers that are losing their job. And right now, I guess there's a big, big, shall we say, cleansing of our intel community out there. It's kind of being, you know, undercover. But our friend Niz Nelly unearthed a clip from CNN where they're out there claiming that these people from the intel community that are being fired or being asked to leave, that they might consider selling what they know to foreign powers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Federalist has a story right now. CNN. Deep state bureaucrats threaten to sell state secrets if Trump isn't nice to them.
There it is.
Well, they've already done that. They've already abused their positions of power to leak against our own government and to prop up others, which is all the more reason. Press harder, right?
Out. All of you.
Help identify these traitors to our government and get them the heck out of there. Keep going.
That right there, that's treason.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordlund.
USDA will release approximately $20 million in funding from previously approved contracts that had been frozen by the Trump administration's push to overhaul the federal government, the agency said late last week. The sum represents a tiny sliver of program funding the USDA suspended after the White House's broad freeze of federal loans and grants last summer, although the administration rescinded the memo ordering the freeze and it has been blocked in court. A U.S. judge has said the government was still withholding funds. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins said the released funds will go to honor contracts that were already made directly with farmers, according to a statement. The USDA is releasing $20 million in contracts for the Environmental Quality Incentive Program, or EQIP, Conservation Stewardship Program, and Agriculture Conservation Easement Program. In other news, federal courts report that 216 farm bankruptcies were filed in 2024, up 55% from the previous year. All but one region had increases in Chapter 12 bankruptcy filings last year. Bankruptcy filings in territories and states outside the continuous 48 states designated other by the U.S. courts more than tripled, hitting a five-year high of 14 bankruptcies. However, this is still lower than any year between 2007 and 2019. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Okay,
talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we got the phone lines open for you. If you want to jump in on the conversation here, you got something you want to talk about, John Jackson, the Joker from X, sidekicking with us. Earlier, I was talking about the Keystone XL pipeline, and I played the soundbite from Governor Gianforte on the show with us yesterday. Here is what President Trump said on X and on Truth Social. He said this about 12 hours ago. Our country's doing really well, and today I was just thinking that the company building the Keystone XL pipeline that was viciously jettisoned by the incompetent Biden administration should come back to America and get it built now. I know they were treated very badly by sleepy Joe Biden, but the Trump administration is very different. Easy approvals, almost immediate start. If not them, perhaps another pipeline company. We want the Keystone XL pipeline built. John, to me, the president would not be talking about this, and the governor would not be talking about it with his energy secretary if something wasn't actually on the verge of happening here. So that's why I'm very optimistic. I mentioned, even when I was on Capitol Hill a month ago, I ran into some Canadians who were on the Hill talking about this very thing.
Well, I, if I'm that company, imagine put yourself in their shoes. I got to hear from President Trump that I'm going to be able to not only finish this product, this project in 4 years, but then nobody's going to be able to turn me off. It's going to be, even if Joe Biden or his people come back in 28, you're not going to be able to turn off my project. They can't just come in with some executive order and say you're shut off. If I don't hear that, I would be really reticent to get back into it.
Yeah. Well, and somebody messaged us on the Montana. Oh, this was Kendall in Laurel messaged us on the Montana Talks app earlier. You know, I don't remember Q2 or Straight 8 having the laid off pipeline workers on their news broadcasts after losing their jobs. But if you were a part-time seasonal employee for the Forest Service that all of a sudden got that part-time job turned into a full-time job under Joe Biden, and now it goes back to being a part-time job, boy, it's all the TV time in the world for people like that. But if you lost your job from a coal mine or the Keystone Pipeline or the timber mill or whatever, you know, you're just supposed to figure it out, according to these people.
They told them to learn to code. Remember, Aaron?
Yeah.
Learn to code.
Yeah.
They laughed at all of these people that got fired for not taking the jab. That's all these people in the media. They laughed at you. But all of a sudden, there's all these sob stories about these poor federal workers. Ask yourself why. Because they know these federal workers, by and large, are the people that carry out the liberal agenda. And they know this is an attack against Donald Trump as well.
I've got a great soundbite here from Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth that I've had queued up, ready to roll. I know John wants to talk about that topic as well. But let's see. We got Jeff in Polson, another veteran, I believe, on the phone lines with us here, wants to talk about some of the changes being made, I think, with the military personnel. Jeff, great to hear from you.
Yeah, like you, a proud veteran. And
God bless you.
You know, when we took our oath, we swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And when you talked about those intelligence community individuals who are threatening to sell secrets, as a former signals intelligence professional, I want those people prosecuted to the full extent of the law. They are treason, traitors, and they need to be treated as such. Regarding my initial call, when you look at officers, particularly high-ranking officers in the military, it used to be that the military retirement was a safety net that would allow mostly enlisted folks to retire with some sort of a pension that would keep them out of the food lines and allow them to at least eke out an existence. And now when you look at pensions, I say this as a Chief Master Sergeant retiree, E9, I retired at 28 years, 72% of my base pay. It's not a lot of money, but it is enough to get along. And along with Social Security, I do very well. I just have to say I don't have anything to worry about. But I look at these officers, colonels and above, who are going 30, 35, 40 years. They end up, some of them, getting more than 100% of their base pay. And so I have a proposition for Secretary Hegseth that he cap officer retirement at what a colonel would make in 30 years. I don't care what grade you're in. You're not going to make more when you retire than a colonel in 30 years. And if you're a chief master sergeant, you're not going to make more than a chief would at 30 years.
Well, thanks for your service. And, yeah, spot on about these deep state bureaucrats who are threatening to sell our state secrets. The very threat alone should have their security clearances stripped and should have them thrown behind bars. The other thing, and thanks for the call to Jeff and Polson. John, the other thing that Pete Hegseth, Secretary of Defense, has been doing, well, not just him. Actually, this was the president's call, not even the SecDef's call. The president replaced C.Q. Brown, General C.Q. Brown. Like, he's like the wokest of the woke generals out there. I mean, it was just embarrassing. You saw some of the things that guy said and did. And so he's been replaced. And then you see the pearl clutching in the media. Oh, how dare you? How dare you? The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff serves at the pleasure of the president. He's the president's advisor. Of course the president can get rid of him and put somebody else in the job. I mean, these people think that unelected bureaucrats should be the one calling the shots instead of the people we elected.
And that is not near enough. Everybody that got their button, that got their star under Biden or rose up through the general ranks under Biden needs to go. And I think they're all serving at the pleasure of, and you know, Aaron, their requirements, their standards under Biden to get those stars or get those promotions didn't have anything to do with ability or merit or war fighting or anything. It was, you had to show you were a member of the Communist Party in good standing. They all got to go. All of them.
Yeah, I wasn't in the Navy, but I've been reading some of these stories about some of these, you know, commanders of these carrier groups that didn't have the career path somebody should have in order to be the commander of a carrier group, for example, but they checked some woke check boxes. And then all of a sudden we've been having these major problems, and they're saying, well, maybe we should put people in those jobs who actually qualify for those jobs instead of just check all the woke check boxes. That leads us to this soundbite. So Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, actually, do you have the context for us on this one here? This deals with selecting the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So it looks like Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth is there. It looks like it's the Saudis. I can tell by the flag and the attire. So you got the Saudis on one side of the table. You've got SecDef Hegseth and some other top brass sitting next with him. And that's when he was asked one of the stupidest questions I think you could probably ask.
He asked him, he says, why did you appoint an unqualified person to be the new the new head of the Joint Chiefs? And I'll let you play
here's the sound bite. I don't know who this liberal fake news reporter is, but I tried to crank up his audio. So if you can't hear it, I'll tell you word for word what he actually said. Rapid Response 47. Which is the Trump White House official rapid response team on X. They didn't share the name. They just said it's from Fake News Loser. Fake News Loser is the one who asked this question.
Why did you expect an unqualified retired lieutenant general to be the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff?
I'm gonna choose to reject your unqualified question. Who's next?
John, yeah, Rapid Response 47 has the transcript here. Fake News Loser. Quote, why did you select an underqualified retired lieutenant general to be the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? And Hegseth says, I'm going to choose to reject your unqualified question. Who's next?
That's exactly how you do it right there, folks. That is the Don Rumsfeld, Donald Trump way. If you get a ridiculously over-the-top, biased, stupid question, you say, next. Who wants to ask a civil, good question here? Anybody? No? Okay, press conference over.
The fact is, I want to know who that guy was, and I want to know what his background is, because for him to say an unqualified three-star general, did you listen to the question that just came out of your mouth? Do you not understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? You know, to quote Chris Tucker, My goodness. By the way, I think the chairman of the Joint Chiefs is going to be, isn't his name Raisin Kane?
Raisin Kane, that's him, yeah.
Raisin Kane, man, I tell you, that tells you America's on the warpath again, huh?
Well, for the last 15 years now, you have seen Republicans, and they're still doing it today. They not only go on these different liberal media outlet shows, but then they always accept the premise of a media question and not only respond to it, but then try to defend their own actions to these communist reporters. No, you do exactly what Pete Hegseth did right there. Next.
Yeah. Speaking of next, right after this quick break, we'll get to Sven in the Flathead Valley. So, Sven, I'll say it again. Keep buttering that lefse during the break, and you'll be first up on the phone lines right after this. And then, now I want lefse. And it's with butter, not that cinnamon and sugar blasphemy that some of you put on your lefse. All right, back to the calls next.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, good. I think he's got a question for the Joker here, because I just want to sit back and drink coffee for a couple of minutes. Sven in the Flathead Valley listening to KJJR. What's going on? Thanks for the call.
Well, good morning to all you North American studs.
Anyway, good morning.
I wanted to ask JJ, did you work for the DEA?
Yeah, because we always just say you were a retired federal law enforcement officer, but it sounds like you've done a lot of drug investigations.
I can neither confirm nor deny the existence of my previous employment, nor would I be compelled to do so unless under oath. Yes, I was. I don't mention it very often just because I don't want to fly the flag, but yes, I was.
How many years were you in there, man?
30 years.
30, really? Did you know a guy named Sonny Castillo?
Say it again.
A guy named, agent named Sonny Castillo?
No. Where was he out of?
He was, I think, down maybe back east somewhere. He wrote a book called Powder Burns. He was a whistleblower.
No, I'd never heard of that. There was 5,000 agents in, you know, and they're worldwide, you know, all over.
It's
the country,
kind of like so. The National Guard. When people find out I was in the National Guard or the Army Reserve, oh, do you know so and so? And you know, it's Montana, yeah. So sometimes you do, but oftentimes you're like, yeah, different unit. No.
Yeah, I understand. Just curiosity, you know. Anyway, he wrote this book, Powder Burns. And they tried to set him up and bust him, do a bunch of stuff to him. You know, they tried to, you know. Just because he was speaking out about the stuff that was going on. But yeah, I was just curious about that, and then I wanted to say something about the Keystone Pipeline in Phillips County.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on Keystone?
Well, that's neat, man, because two things. You know, Phillips County's got, we got a hot springs, we got a reservoir, and we got a fountain of youth in Malta.
That Sleeping Buffalo Hot Springs, man, I tell you what. They've upgraded everything there. They got their outdoor swimming pool up and running. They got the hot springs indoor. I visited since they've upgraded. It's nice. They got a really cool-looking bar in there now. John, I saw this, too, on their Facebook page the other day. You can fly in, land right there on the reservoir. They have, like, it looks like a camper, but it's an ice. It's like an ice fishing hut, but it's a camper version. It's like having your camper right there. You can fly in, hang out in your little ice fishing camper, and then fly back out. How cool is that?
Huh. So you're saying that out in the middle of, you know, fairly nowhere, there's a airstrip that you can land on. Wonder how that could be used.
Not the kind of former law enforcement officer like you might be thinking about.
Immediately my radar goes up right away. There was rumors of that out at Chico years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because if you ever notice, their road going in there is also doubles as an airstrip.
Orale, Chico. Okay.
Yeah. Orale.
All right. Good enough. Well, I can tell you, those ice fishermen would clean up any cartel problems if they tried to show up there, that's for sure. Let's go to Bill in Billings. Bill, what's going on?
Well, you know, it's kind of crazy, all the things that Trump is starting to get done now, and the Keystone Pipeline, things like that. You could make a list a mile long of the things that Fauci and Biden's totally screwed up. And it's just a shame that now Trump has to come in and be the janitor cleaning up their frickin' messes. It's just disgusting that we have to go through this just because of those two. And, of course, Biden and Fauci have crawled off under a big rock somewhere. And I just wonder if they'll ever be held accountable for what they did to this country.
Good question. Good question. Bill, I would add to that. And Bill, thanks for the call. I would add to it, John. You got to add John Tester in there, too. Because, look, I know, look, he lost the election, and I hope, whatever. But we have to remind people here in Montana that the other reason why the Keystone Pipeline and all these other bad things happened was because John Tester allowed it. He was with Joe Biden every single step of the way. Because 2 years from now, 4 years from now, there's going to be another phony, fake moderate that the media is going to thrust upon us. Oh, no, no, I'm different. I'm just to this. I'm just to that. Oh, we've heard this spiel before, buddy.
Right now, Rush Limbaugh said 20 years ago, he just tried to tell people on his airwaves, there is no such thing as a moderate Democrat, not anymore. And John Tester was proof positive of it. Chris Coons is proof positive of it. And look how you got Senator Slingblade up there in Pennsylvania is absolutely proof positive. All they do is talk, but then anytime their party needs them, they're right there with their vote.
I got to look at the calendar. Saturday night. I think that's when Tampon Tim Walz is going to be in Helena. Are you going to wear a big Tampon Tim outfit and go show up?
Well, has Greg Franks already arranged for the flyover and the dropping of massive boxes of tampons on the on the event?
He's acquiring said product right now, I believe.
We're not supposed to talk about that on the air.
I think you can talk about that. Oh, okay, yeah, it's a logistical conversation. I mean, it's kind of inside baseball, but, you know, but when people see the tampons dropping over Helena, they need to know who to call and say thank you to. Thank you, Greg Franks.
Is that the manna? Is it the manna from heaven? Wait, what?
There'll be what would the airdrop be called for this operation?
Operation Plug.
Now when some of our great soldiers are doing airborne operations over Fort Harrison, everybody's going to be like, oh, no, look out for the tampons. The tampons are dropping everywhere.
Dude, how many times do you run one of those things to your rifle or your shotgun? You ever did that?
I never did that. No.
Perfect for cleaning your barrel.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. See, you federal law enforcement guys, you had all the tools.
Oh, we get the best. Oh,
feds get everything. Soldiers just got to figure it out. All right, John, great to see you as always. Thanks for joining us. All right, let's see. Man, Wednesday, what do we got on the show tomorrow? Water rights. We're going to talk water rights for ranchers and more. Hey, if